Hi, and welcome into this community update on this Monday morning. We are here joined with one of our sonar experts, Mike Bowden-Vistel, who also hosts the Stockout. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Yourself? Good to see you, Isaiah.
Good to see you as well. The weekend was good. Had a lot of fun, a lot of downtime at the apartment, so that was nice. A lot of rest and relaxation. But Mike, we've got some things to get into, CPG and retail. And from your perspective, is there anything that's really standing out in the sonar data?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time last week talking with various sonar customers. And one of the things I was highlighting was the intermodal data is pretty interesting. So when you look at just the AAR data that comes out every week that most people see, it shows that intermodal volume is up about 8%. But what's interesting about sonar is we can break this down sort of any which way you want to break it down. And if you just look at the two big segments, it shows that, you know, of that overall 8% year-over-year growth year-to-date, the domestic side is only up about 1%, maybe up 1 and some change percent, whereas the international side's up 16%. So it really is that international side that is driving the intermodal volume growth. And the reason that's important, I mean, it's important if you're a stock analyst and you're following J.B. Hunt, which competes in the domestic intermodal segment. It's also important if you're a shipper, like some of the CPG and retail shippers that that listen to the Stockout, because if you're concerned about, you know, domestic intermodal availability, domestic intermodal container availability, capacity, you know, when you see that up 8% number, you need that context that the domestic is not up quite as much as international. So that's something that's been interesting. Another thing that's been interesting is just the intermodal contract rates, you know, average that we've seen in sonar. Those year to date are down about 10%. And there's a lot of CPG that goes into that data. So I do think the CPG companies in their latest bid have seen some pretty nice reductions to their intermodal rates. And then another interesting thing has just been on the import side, where the imports have really been strong, where, you know, this latest sonar data on imported container volume shows that imports are up about 8.8%, imported containers up 8.8% year to date. So that is against an easy comp, but it looks like that it's going to continue, that strong import growth. When you look at import ocean bookings taken at the point of origin, those are well above last year's levels and very close to 21 and 22 levels. So there was quite a bit of ordering right ahead of Chinese New Year for various imported goods.
Mike, how do retail inventory levels play into all of this?
Yeah, I think that's really a big driver in maybe what you're seeing both on that intermodal side and also on the ocean side, where, you know, it was interesting. We had a comment from one of the Class One railroads that we spoke to, and they said historically, if they looked at what the National Retail Federation was expecting for consumer spending, they'd know exactly what was going to come in through the ports. They'd know exactly how many resources they needed at those ports, at those facilities. But during the pandemic, since the pandemic started, the retailers have always had either too much inventory or too little inventory. And I think one of the reasons why you're seeing those strong, you know, import volumes right now is that the inventory levels do seem to be low. If you look at this latest data point from the government that shows the retail inventory to sales ratio is at 1.17. And if you look at it before the pandemic, that was up, you know, something like 1.5. So those do seem like a little low. And you do think, well, maybe, all things being equal, inventory levels should be a little bit higher because of the Amazonification of the world, where every consumer expects everything to be delivered in one day or same day, or, you know, maybe if it has to be slow, it's the, you know, 2-day delivery. You know, you need more inventory. In that case, it needs to be close to consumers. I mean, retail, Amazon going from a national distribution network to a regional distribution network on the marketplace inside of the business, all that stuff should lead to more inventory. So it does seem like inventories are a little low, which seems to be helping imports as retailers are replenishing them. I also think it maybe means that there's a little bit less demand for domestic intermodal as compared to truckload, because when the inventories are low, it makes those goods more time sensitive.
How are you thinking about the competitive dynamics between truck and rail currently?
Yeah, I mean, it's a competitive marketplace. I mean, when the truckload market is still loose, truckload is really a viable option for intermodal shippers. I think in both cases, the shippers are still getting contractual rate decreases, you know, even though we've seen some life in the truckload spot market that pick up a little bit, but still think it's very competitive, you know, particularly in the eastern U.S. where the lengths of haul are shorter. So I think shippers have some degree of optionality there. I think it does depend on how time sensitive the goods are. When you look at, you know, comparative rates across mode, on average, those look a little narrow, where you sort of think of intermodal having kind of a 10 to 15% spread normally discount versus truckload when you include fuel surcharges in both of those modes. On average, it looks a little bit below that 10% currently. Of course, it's going to vary by lane. I mean, one of the interesting things, you know, hearing also is that the asset-based carriers, you know, the ones that own large number of containers, you know, I mean, J.B. Hunt's the largest of those, they've maybe been a little bit more aggressive, those asset-based carriers have, in terms of, you know, being accommodative with rates. And part of the reason for that is they want to reposition the containers. And there has been a lot of imports coming through the West Coast. You know, getting those containers back to the West Coast, those rates are really low, even lower than they would typically be for those backhauls. So a lot of, you know, dynamics there. Still think intermodal service is pretty strong, but think the activist situation at Norfolk Southern is potentially a wild card for intermodal service in the East.
Mike, what are some of the CPG companies saying about retail prices, given the rise in sugar and chocolate costs? I know last week you talked about how the price of cocoa was rising right before Valentine's Day. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so for the most part, I mean, commodities are off of their highs, but the exception that proves the rule is cocoa prices. You know, those have like doubled here recently and breaking new records. You know, sugar at a very high level, even if that's a little bit off the high. So sometimes you have growing conditions around the world that really disrupt certain commodities. And what those companies are saying, like Hershey, not a surprise, they buy a lot of cocoa for their chocolates. They say there's going to be some margin pressure there. So they're saying they're going to have, you know, margin contraction about a couple hundred basis points. And they're saying that some of the retail prices are going to, you know, be higher. I mean, they talked about their costs being higher, kind of in that low double digit range. Well, that tells me there's a lot of hedges that take place. So that maybe out, let's say a year, they're at least partially hedged. So their costs are not going to rise, and then the on shelf prices are not going to rise as dramatically as we've seen in those commodity costs. But it's still a pretty significant headwind for the CPG companies, and you're still going to see that in retail prices, you know, ultimately maybe later this year for Halloween candy.
Mike, is there any other topics in retail and CPG that you find interesting or you would like to cover on the show?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I find interesting. I mean, this ongoing you know, lawsuit between the FTC and Amazon, I think it's going to be something I'm going to regularly cover. You know, the pending acquisition where Kroger is trying to complete acquisition with Albertsons. I think that's very interesting. There's just another state, you know, suing to block the merger at Colorado in the last you know, couple of days. Whether that's anti-competitive or not is a matter of difference of opinion. I don't think it's anti-competitive, but I think it's a very interesting topic. You know, some of these pandemic era trends like supply chain, you know, resilience, you know, just in case inventory, are sort of the industry fully going away from those, and sort of the pre-pandemic behavior, is that going to be fully enforced? So I think those are interesting, you know, topics. You know, on the freight side, just, you know, how shippers should be positioning themselves right now, or, you know, if we're getting close to the end of this period of looseness and we're going to have tighter truckload conditions later this year, sort of how should a shipper be thinking about that if I'm a retail company or a CPG company? So lots of interesting topics to go over.
And Mike, if anybody wants to tune in to the Stockout or subscribe to the newsletter, how can they do that?
Yeah, so the show is Monday morning now at 10 o'clock Eastern. You can check that out on YouTube or freightwaves.com. If you want to subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to www.freightwaves.com/the Stockout.
Mike, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay.